together, I guess. Truth is, we'll see. Where it says that somebody who says a man is greater than somebody who makes the brachot.
So the Gemara,
there's a Gemara in Perek Kol Kisvei, that's in Shabbos and Kufiyot Tes, on the base. There are a lot of goddesses and things. Amar Rish Lakish, just talking about a man. It says, Rish Lakish, Kol Ha'ayna Amein B'Kol Koichoi. It says, anybody who says Amein with all of his koach, Poskin Lo Sharei Gan Eden, says, opens up for him the gates of Gan Eden. Poskin Lo Sharei Gan Eden. And it brings a pasuk. Kol, you say amen, kol kofar. It opens up for a person the gates of Gan Eden. Shenemar, the Gemara says, Pischu Shori. Pasuk in Yeshayahu. Open up your gates, Vayavo Goy Tzadik, and let's come in. A righteous nation. Shomer Emunim, guardians of faith. That's a pasuk. That's talking about Am Yisrael. Considered the guardians of faith. It's the name of a shul in Meir Sharim. Shomer Amunim. You ever heard of Shomer Amunim?
Mm-hmm.
It's also remember. What's that?
In
Baltimore as well. That's from this pasuk. Yeah. Guardians of faith. It's referring to Jewish people. So it says this is Kol Meyet. That's the pasuk says. Pisku, open up the gates. Yeah. And the Gemara is learning that the gates talking about the gates of Gan Eden. You know, gates of Gan Eden are closed to us since the days of Adam and Elisha. Kadosh Baruch Hu put there a malach, the cherev mitapeches, you know about the cherev mitapeches, the revolving sword. The malach standing in front of Gan Eden is an angel with a revolving sword that turns, the cute blade turns around and around, flashes lights, you know, cracking. You can't get through. You want to go to Gan Eden, you have to get past that revolving sword, you know, sits there, can't get through. However, it says, Pasuk says, open up your gates, yeah, open up the gates of Gan Eden, Vayavol Goy Tzadik, and let a righteous nation come in, yeah, Shomer Amunim, the guardians of faith. Yeah. Now, the Gemara says, yeah, Al Tikre, the Gemara makes a play on words over here. The Gemara says, Al Tikre Shomer Emunim. Don't read Shomer Emunim, meaning the guardians of faith. Ella, read Shomrim Omen. Not Shomer Emunim, the guardians of faith, but those who say Omen. The Gemara says, you see from here, that somebody who says Omen, Bikol Koikon, with all of his strength, the gates of Gan Eden open up for him. Asks the Gemara, my Amein, what exactly does Amein mean? What kavana should I have? What kavana should a person have? Say Amein, what does the word mean? So the Gemara writes that famous Gemara, the Gemara, we're talking about saying Amein.
What is it?
We're talking about saying Amein. It says that somebody, you know, who says Amein with all of his strength, open up for him the gates of Gan Eden. Gates again, open up. Yeah. Open up, you know, the gates. Let the righteous nation, those guardians of faith, come in. So the Gemara says, don't read guardians of faith, but rather those who should say Amen. You got us a play on word. Shomrim Unim or Shomrim Amen. As the Gemara, my Amen, what does Amen mean? The Gemara says that Amen is an acronym. You know what an acronym is? You know? It stands for Amen. Kale, Aleph Lamed, Melech, Neman. Amen, Kale, Melech, Neman stands for the words, yeah, that Kale is Midah for them. Kale, the name of God, is a faithful king. God is a faithful king. Now, Kale, by the way, that's called, you know, Kale, God is a faithful king. Kael Melech Neemon, he's faithful. Faithful to us. Now, the simple pshat of this Gemara is that it's not just a play on words over here. But it's coming to say that somebody who says Amen, yeah, he's the guardian of faith over here. Right? The person who guards, so to be a guardian of faith, Shomer Amunim, right? that's somebody who says amen. It's a deep statement of faith, of emunah, in the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that emunah, right, when a person is able to reach that level, you know, of emunah, so then the gates of Gan Eden open up for him. He's in a different type of place now. He's not where he was before. Now, there's a lot to speak about here, but the simple pshat is that, as I say, that you, the Maharal wants to know, what does it mean b'kol kocho, first of all? What does it mean that you should say it with all of your strength? What's b'kol kocho? How do you say amen with all of your strength? So, he says, it doesn't mean, and what would you think is a simple pshat, b'kol kocho? You scream it.
Woohoo!
That's right, amen! They have somebody at the coastal like that, you know, like, yay, shmei! You know, he screams at the top of his lungs, and he says, kol kocho mamish, you can hear him all the way back. Aisha Tara can't learn there, you know, in the classrooms, he does this guy, you know. Amen! So the Maharal says it's not what it means, that you should scream it, he says. He says, if it meant that you should scream it, so it should have said b'kol ram, like a high voice. That doesn't mean you could scream it. So he says, so what would you think? It doesn't mean you shouldn't scream it, so it would be the pshat of b'kol kocho. So you might think that kol kocho means with all of your kavana. You should scream, but amen, you put your whole heart into it. You only think about amen, you know. Amen! your kavana, you know. So, you know, that would be the simple pshat. Oh man, you know, you put all your whole leave into it. You wait, finishes the bracha. So the Maharal says, no, that's not the pshat either. Even though that's the simple pshat. Kol kavanah, so he says, not that the pshat. What is the pshat for kol kocho? He says, kol kocho means that you say it completely with your mouth. You know, you move your lips. Put all the cards and moving your lips. You don't say, amen. All main. Right. All main. You move your lips. You don't say, amen. All main. Move your lips. Put all your kavana into it. What's that?
Like they do in the local places around here.
Where? Oh, yeah. All main. All main. Yeah, it says, all of you, come on. That's what he writes. Say it out. Don't just say, amen. Say it properly. Oh, man, say the words. Avarei, though, the Maharal means that he doesn't mean you just, you know, move your, he means you put your kavana, but it's not just the inner of the thought. Like, more just saying it means you have to say it. So like all the mitzvahs, you want to actually open up the gates of Gan Eden, so you have to say it, you know, say it. Say it out. Oh, man. But avarei means, the simple pshat is that saying it means it. Now it's very interesting when you say it. The Gemara says the kavana. So the kavana of it that it says simply is that a person. It's interesting. What does it mean that a person, you know, is a guardian of faith? What does it mean to have faith in a Kodesh Baruch Hu? So the Gemara says, you know, what does faith in Hashem mean? What is emunah? So it gives a bit of a definition of what faith is. Guardian of faith. Normally we think guardian of faith means just believing there's a God in this world. That's true, but more than something else. Guardian of faith means that you say that Keil Melech Ne'eman. Very interesting. Our belief, what we say is that we believe that Hashem is faithful to us. That's what we want to say. Keil Melech Ne'eman. Keil is the name for HaKadosh Baruch Hu that defines his act, an infinite act of giving, you know, that can't be comprehended. When we say, we say in tefillah, Kelel Yoin, Gomel Chasadim Tovim. So the Mefarshim will say, Kelel Yoin means that Hashem has a Tov that can't be comprehended by human beings. Gomel Chasadim Tovim is that we see all the Tov in the world around us. But Kelel Yoin means that there's a midah of Hashem's giving that's beyond human comprehension, and its purity, which we spoke about, I think, last time a bit. That's what Kale represents, that if you think about it, as I said, the concept of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chesed has no human, it's beyond logic, it has no human understanding to it. The idea, that Hashem, Like he says, why did Hashem create the world? Chok HaTov Lehiti. Because he's Tov, and therefore something that's Tov gives Tov. What kind of explanation is that? Okay, I've said to you many times, whenever we talk about Chesed, Chesed has no explanation. It means I'm doing Tov, and there's no reason for it. Right? That's called Chesed. If there's a reason for it, then it's not Chesed anymore. Like if I'm doing you a favor, because I'm going to get something back for you, or because I have some reason for doing it, or I'm going to get paid for it, it's not Chesed. If there's a Siba already, it's not Chesed. Chesed means that there's no cause for it, and I do it. It's beyond cause. Now, when we think about Kodesh Baruch Hu, you have to realize he does things without cause. There's no such thing as cause and effect. Just that's where the human mind gets stuck. You see, the human mind lives in a world where everything must have a cause. Right? If something happened, there must be some reason why it happened that way, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, everything is a cause that leads to an effect. Cause leads to effect. And when you get to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, so there is no such thing as cause and effect. Everything just is. Right? It just is. You can't say, well, why is he that way? You know, what made him that way? Nothing made him that way. Right? How did he exist? What caused him to exist? Nothing caused him to exist. So what is he? He just is. Right? And there's no explanation. It's just pure being. And there's no such thing as cause and effect. As you know, right? It's like the question, what was there before, you know, what was there before Hashem created the world? So what's the answer?
Hashem.
What?
Hashem.
Right. The answer is that there's no such question, because there's no such thing as before Hashem created the world.
No.
It didn't exist.
Really?
Because before created the world, there was no time. So there was no such thing. You can't say what was before created the world.
Well,
it just was.
Okay.
Something. These are things we can't understand. But anyway, it just was. There's no such thing as a before, because there was no time.
I guess my mind's like, yeah, still in the second world, because I was told not too long ago, some time ago, that science actually figured out that before, like, the universe created, they actually calculated there was something before.
Yeah, but that doesn't make sense by spiritual standards. You can't say that term.
Well, I mean, I thought that was a proof that Hashem was there.
But. Yeah, but whatever. I'm just saying, those things before. Anyway, those are, you know, things that are sort of interesting to think about, but we don't understand these things. But anyway, Kael always represents the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives. As I said, Kael El Yom, it's impossible to understand the Tov of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his giving to the world. The amount of Tov that he has, for no reason, he just is Tov and therefore gives Tov. And as I say, that's the midah of chesed that we discussed there. A person, he gives to another person. Why do you give? Yeah, I just want good for you. But why do you want good for me? No explanation. There's no explanation in the world why I should want you to have good. Right? No reason. Why should I bother? What did you do for me? What do I care? It doesn't make any sense. It's completely irrational. And yet I want you to have tov. Why? It's the midah of Hashem. It's beyond logic. The truths and all the real truths in the world are actually beyond logic. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
You understand, you can grasp it, but the real divine concept of Chachazet. Kodesh Baruch Hu wants Tov. You can't ask why. Just Midah of Hashem gives. That's called Kael El Yom. Kodesh Baruch Hu's, that's called Kael. Desire for he wants Tov. So you say Kael, it's a name for God. Yeah. He's a Melech Ne'eman. Right, that he's a God, that he can be trusted. He's faithful. Hashem is faithful. He's faithful to give Tov to the world. Right? He's faithful. That means that no matter, even if it looks in a minute or from the moment that you don't see that Tov being manifested in the world around us, Kael Melech Norman, Kael, a Kodesh Baruch Hu is a faithful king. He has. He's Kael, he has all of the Tov, the desire for Tov in the world to give, and he's a Melech, he has all of the power to do so. And he's faithful, and therefore what he says he'll do, you know, he doesn't stop in the middle, he can be trusted to follow through. And therefore he's a faithful king, he's a faithful king. He's a king who has power, and he's faithful to us to give Tov. He'll never stop. You can trust him, he'll never stop, ever. Continual. And yeah, it says, Kael Melech Norman, God is a faithful king. It's very interesting when we talk about Aramuna. Aramuna means, we say,
And Hashem is faithful to us. That's called our emunah. You understand? He's a Neman. Hashem has emunah. It's a midah of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. And the midah of a Kaddish Baruch Hu means that he's faithful. He doesn't move. Lunch, you know. Now the Maharal goes, Kaddish Baruch Hu is a faithful king. And if a person thinks about this in depth, when you say, Amen, Hashem is a faithful king, and you remember Aaron, we have a belief that Hashem is faithful to us. He'll always give that Tov. He wants Tov and he'll give it. He wants Tov and he gives it. You know. Yeah, that's right. So when you say that, Amen. So the question is, if you say that with Kol Kavod, yeah, Kol HaKoach, Amen. Hashem is a faithful king. It's hard to do. You have to learn how to think when you say things. Amen. You know, and you think Kael Melhem, Amen. It's faithful, and that goes through your mind. You put your koach into it. So the Gemara is saying that, you know, when a person does that, so all of the gates, you know, of Gan Eden swing open for him. That's what you reach a new level of emunah by saying, yes. You reach a deep level of emunah. Now, the Mefarshim talk about this a little bit. Yeah, the gates of Gan Eden open up. So they say a very interesting thing about this. You know, we said, you know, what exactly was Gan Eden? No, what exactly is Gan Eden? Yeah, so the Maharal learns the Maharal learns that Gan Eden, yeah, is dafka. He says, why is Gan Eden called a Gan over here? You know, why is Gan Eden called a Gan? A garden of Eden, you know, Gan Eden. So there's a lot of explanations about this. Why is it a Gan? Right. The simple explanation is, and then, you know, what is a Gan? Right? A Gan is a place. A Gan is a place where everything is arranged in such a way. Did we speak about this, about Gan Eden? A Gan Eden. A Gan is a place where everything is arranged in such a way, yeah, to inspire you and connect you to, you know, the beauty of it. You know, it's everything is like funky. You know, like, you ever seen these Japanese gardens? They have like the whole art to make a real garden. I don't know if anybody knows anything about gardening, but gardening is an important thing. You arrange the flowers and the, you know, and the pools of water and the things into an environment that, going into that environment, like, brings a person to like a deep level of inspiration, right, and a higher level of connection to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Like, that's what gardens all about. In Japan, they have a whole art about it. These gardens, and dafka, how the, you know, the water drips, you know, and plants are over here, and you see this shape and this form, and you look at it, and you connect, and you spoil, and you go into a meditative type of trance, you know. God. But the sort of a God is that the world is arranged in such a way that it's complete. That it's a complete expression of a Tov that's given in a way that the Tov affects us and inspires us, and as a result would connect us to a Kaddish Baruch Hu in a much deeper way. Which means that a Gan is really a place where everything in the world that you see, everything that you see, inspires in you emunah. Right? The whole world, everything inspires the emunah, right? That's what Gan is all about. A tree, you know, the flower there, and psh, yeah, you see such tov there, and the beauty of it lifts you up, right? And you're connected to, you know, his tov, his connection. You see his tov being given over, you know. It's called Gan Eden, right? That's what gardens are all about, you know? Everybody's going to leave this shit, become a gardener, right? Yeah, it's not a bad job, become a gardener. Anyway, what's that? It's difficult on Shemitah, you know. What's that?
Can we go into these Japanese gardens? Because aren't they, like, connected to Vodas?
No. First of all, there's a shaila whether in Japan they worship Buddhism. It's not clear that Buddhism is a Vodazara. It's a suffix. Those big statues aren't necessarily, they're not clear. Most people say they don't worship him as a god. It's just inspiration. But I'm not going to go into that. Hinduism is more complicated. What's that?
They're turning the rub his stomach.
Oh, yeah. I don't know any much about Buddhism. But anyway, you'll read about that somewhere else. But anyway, yeah. But as far as I understand, it's not like Hinduism where they actually have mamish idols. But rather, he's a person who's supposed to be someone who inspires somebody to do things. I don't know whether that's MS, but whatever. Next time.
go to Japan, you could ask a monk, well, you see him, yeah, if he actually worships Buddha or just uses him to inspire him.
Okay.
And ask him what the difference is. Now, it's a good question. Now, anyway, tell him that you're an Orthodox Jew and you have to know whether you can go into his garden.
No.
But that's what a garden is all about. So, he says, Gan Eden is a place of emunah. Right? Gan Eden was a place where a person would actually be there, and as a result, he'd be connected, you know, to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, all of the things in this world. Now, Chazal tell us that when Adam Harishon, oh, by the way, the Maharal says one other thing about Gan Eden. He says that Gan Eden is called a Gan. He goes a little bit more deeper. Okay, back up, quoted. He says that Gan Eden is called Gan Eden because it's a place where things are rooted. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Things are planted. They're rooted into the ground, right? Then they grow, right? So Gan Eden is something that planted. Mm-hmm. Things are planted. So he says that when a person was in Gan Eden, right, he was also planted, rooted. You know what I'm saying? What it means is, he says, is that Yeted Nema, he writes there that the word Amunah, Neman, right? What does Amunah mean? Literally, they had an etymology of the word, Amunah.
It means you skip the news section and go straight to the derivative.
The why? Wait, oh, the Amunah? Well, where does it say that? It says the Amunah section? Okay. So what exactly is... Oh, right here. What exactly... what exactly is the word mean? So he says... Emuna comes, you know, like we say, you know the word, Pasuk Kehel, Yeted Neman, you know, and Yeted Neman. A peg, it's a paper, but that's a quotation from Kehelet, so I'm using that. A Yeted is a peg. You take a peg and you drive it into the wall, you know, not with a steering wheel drive, but you take a hammer, you know, you bang it into the wall. Yeah, until it's still there that you can, you know, you can hang on and it won't fall out, it won't be budged. So that's called the Yeted Neman. Neman literally means that something is driven in to a place and can't be budged or uprooted. It's steady, it's sturdy. That becomes a word for being faithful. Faithful means Neman, when you say Emunah, it's from the word that a person is, doesn't mean that I, you know, it's important, doesn't mean I believe. I believe, you know. You know, it's not something, Yeman means that I'm faithful. Faithful means that I'm a person who's neman. I can't be budged. Mm. Which means that emuna means that the things that I believe are true, I won't budge from them in my life. That's called emuna.
Yes.
The thing, you know, this is what I believe, and in all of the situations in life that I go through, I'm like rooted in, and that nothing can budge me from it. And I'm completely faithful to what I believe to be true. Yeah. As opposed to someone who believes one thing and then something comes up in the slightest difficulty and he just drops it all and drops all of his beliefs. And Ish Emunah, a man of faith, right? Shomer Emunah, regarding that an Ish Emunah. An Ish Emunah, a man of faith, is someone yet who never drops his beliefs in his life. What's that?
False
Emunah. Yeah, that's like everything. Oh. We're talking about Emunah. We're talking about Emunah, good beliefs. Yeah, it's a very bad midah. That's called kashe oref. If you have it used in a negative way, it's called stiff-necked. That means you believe something wrong and you won't give it up. That's stiff-necked. But that's the midah of Am Yisrael. That's their neamani. Yeah. So in its negative side, you know. Yeah. But we're talking here in the positive sense over here. We're trying to other. I was working on simcha. So. Only in other, you only think about positive things. You know, negative things you leave for Elul. You know, things that went wrong. Other, only Tov. Yeah, only Simcha. Anything in other that I hear that makes my heart fall. You know, leave that for Elul. I'll do tshuva. You know, other. I'm sorry.
Good time.
It's my time for Simcha. Not too serious, boys. Now, so Munim. So he says, Emuna is that I'm faithful, right? I'm faithful to what I didn't mean it, no. I'm faithful to what it is that I believe and I don't let them drop. You know, I'm faithful to them. Right? That's called a man of faith. That's considered one of Ish Emuni Mims, a man of faith who can find. Pasuk writes, right? That's considered one of the most important things. Shomer Emuni. So he says, I give my marshal for this then. It's like a person who, you know, he's walking on the street, and all of a sudden, as he's, you know, he's, well, he's lost, right? He doesn't know where to go, and all of a sudden, he sees, you know, a lightning bolt in the dark there. He doesn't know where to go. He's lost. Doesn't know the direction. Just place of danger. And then all of a sudden, he sees, you know, there's a lightning bolt. And and for a minute he looks, very good sound effect. And then all of a sudden he sees, you know, and he sees for that minute in the dark, he sees where to go. And he sees that what he has to do is to get out of this, he has to walk on this on his path, you know, and there are cliffs and all sides.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and he walks, he has to walk 10 paces into the straight and then take a sharp to the right, right? Walk 20 paces to the right, and then go left, and it'll be okay.
Yes.
And then what happens is, is that the light goes out. It's just for a second, you know.
Oh.
And now he's left in the dark, and he begins to walk. He gets 10 paces, and he starts turning to the right, and everybody starts screaming at him. Ah, you're going to fall off the cliff. You're going to die, you idiots. How are you going to do it?
Were the people coming?
What's that? They were the ones. They didn't. They also saw, but they're in a panic. You know, they've lost their heads. So they're screaming, "What are you gonna do, you?" Right? Yeah. I saw 10 paces. I go to the right. So that's what I said. He turns to the right. You know, 20 paces. Turns. What are you doing, you crazy? This is where I saw him going. Complete peace of mind. You know, and I go and I fall. And I, you think it's easy to do, right? It's not so pushing. But what I saw is MS. MS Vemuna Kolzos, right, with every day. MS Vemuna Kolzos. It's MS, you say, by the Torah. And therefore I went Ne'amanim to it. Anshe Yashomer Emunim. So that's called being rooted, the Maral writes. Rooted is a concept that the things that I believe in, Kodesh Baruch Hu's Chesed, yeah, Emun is what I think that are important in life. Kedusha of Hashem, these are so deep for me that I'm ne'emaning to them in life. I'm faithful to them. And I can't be budged for them. So he says, Gan Eden was a place of emunah. It was a place where you saw the tov around you, and while you were there, you were rooted. You know, you were able to actually see Hakadosh Baruch Hu and be connect to Him in such a strong way that you wouldn't budge from Him. Right? You look around the world, when a person, for instance, you know, has a deep hakara of the tov of Hashem and the world around them, then you can't be budged, right? Why does a person fall into difficulties in life, right? A person falls into difficulties and starts doing averas. Why? Because he loses his vision of tov and the world around him, right? And all of a sudden he finds himself and all he sees is rah, and he sees difficulties and he sees this and he sees that, and doesn't see tov in the world around him anymore. And because of that, he begins to doubt, he doesn't know what to do with himself, and he gets it down. And then he starts doing affairs, he doesn't see why he shouldn't bother, and he gets into atzvus. That's why they say, that's actually a lack of emunah, right? That's what Rav Nachum means when he says, like, all of the problems of a person's life comes to me, kukul hasimcha, right, from being killed. When a person loses simcha, he says, all of the bayot in a person's life comes me kukul hasimcha. Because simcha is a branch of avos Hashem, and avos Hashem is a branch of emunah. And what he means is that emunah is a concept. I said b'time mefa, what is emunah? I said, what's the simple pshat in emunah? Simple pshat in emunah is that I have a belief that everything in this world has an ultimate value. You know, it's an ultimate, it's a kale melech man, there's a tremendous amount of tov, you know, in the world around me, and I never lose faith in that. Human being that I see, I believe that human being, has a infinite worth, right? He's acting now, you know, like a gamut. It doesn't make me lose my faith in the value of human beings. I don't lose my faith in humanity because of that. It's the same thing in life. And you have to think, I'm around and I'm aware of that, right? I keep that value. That's, and when a person has that, that's the source, you know, of simcha. You know, that source of sense of recognition, so much value in the world around me, so much tov. You know? And that's really what Gan Eden was all about, a place of, I'm surrounded by an infinite amount of tov, and I'm aware of it, and I'm inspired by it, and besimcha as a result, you know. And when a person was like that, in that situation, you're rooted. And avadi, you'll remain loyal to your beliefs and follow them out, because what roots you is the connection, dveikus to tov, that you feel in such a place. That's what it is in life. As long as in life you have a dveikus to tov, so then you're connected. As soon as you lose that connection to Tov. Yeah, so then the smallest thing in life will throw you over, right? As soon as you feel you're in a matzav of a lack of emunah, where you're disconnected to the Tov and the world around you, so you immediately, even the smallest thing goes wrong, you're ready to give everything up. What difference does it make? Who cares? It doesn't make any difference. If you think about it, yeah, and then you everything falls apart. But that's the so he says like this. He writes that so in emunah, things Gan Eden is a place where there's a tremendous amount of Tov, and therefore people are rooted. They're faithful. They can't be budged from their avodas Hashem and their spiritual development, and they're moving on. He says, but you should know that with all of the goodness of Gan Eden, you know, we didn't stay there too long. And there, whatever the chet of Adam Rishon and what happened over there with the Nachash, got in. You know, he got in, and what did the Nachash do? The Nachash tried to convince Adam Harishon. How did the Nachash make Adam Harishon do a chet? What did he do to make him sin? You know, what's that?
Pushed his hand.
Yeah. But what was the purpose of pushing his hand? What did he do to actually try to get him?
Made him doubt Hashem.
That's right. He made what is a doubt? He said to him, "You think that Hashem is Tov? He's just fooling you. He's out for himself, right?" That's the beginning of every avera, the source of every avera in the world. You think Hashem wants Tov for you? He's out for himself. Yeah. He doesn't want you to have Tov. Look, if you wanted Tov, so why would he tell you not to eat the fruit? Look how Tov it is. Look at this fruit. Tov, and he says, and Chazal tells us that the Eitz Hadas Tovra was the most beautiful fruit in the world we've ever seen. Says in the Chumash that it was beautiful to contemplate, yeah, great for the eyes, yeah, sweet to the taste, to the mind. That's what it says. It says just the beauty of it. It just to think about it. They say the beauty of it was something unbelievable. This fruit, like, and how you the water, how your mouth would water when you look at it, and the taste of it was like mamishkani. Yeah, and it says that the look at it, that means that just looking at the tzura, the awareness of how much tov you would have from eating this fruit, not just how it tasted, but how it would change you for good, how you would develop, how you would go, was mamish unbelievable. You have no idea what it meant just looking at the fruit of Gan Eden. People felt it was like looking at an estrog bush. Yeah. Anyway, but they say, so that's what it says in the Chumash. Yeah, it comes to Nachash and says, why did the country tell you not to eat it? Yeah. He wants my Tov. It's no good. Tov? What are you talking about? He wants your Tov? He doesn't want you to have Tov. He wants you to have Tov. Eat it. Look and see. You really believe that Hashem wants Tov? Wait, no. If Adam Rishon said, wait. Oh, man. Okay, Melech Neman. He wants Tov. And he's Neman to give it to me. I'm acting with the Munah. There's more Tov in not eating it. He's going to give it. Oh, man. There never would have been a chayt. Never. What about Adam Rishon? What? Maybe. Yeah. And then, of course, what happened was that he took Chava and, you know, banged her into the tree there, you know. Yeah, and Adam told Chava that Hashem said that she would die if she touched it. He made a gezerah, right? But he didn't tell her it was his own gezerah. He told her Hashem said so. So now Chava believed that the emes was that Hashem said that if you touch it, you'll die. And then the Nachash said, you see, you didn't die, did you? Ah, so you see, Hashem isn't so emistic with you, is he? Why is he so emistic? He obviously, it's a sign. If he told you the truth, you never would follow what he wanted. The whole thing is a sheker. Yeah, and everything, you know, and that was Adam Rishon's fault that he was. But anyway, as a result of that, that's the source of kol chet in the oil. The source of every avera. That's all of a sudden he lost his rootedness, became uprooted. And he had an emunah, everything is tov, and I'm connected. So then it's impossible to go wrong. But uproot a person, put them in a situation where, boy, they feel now that there's no tov and you can't see the tov anymore. All of a sudden you have a doubt. Maybe there's really no tov in this world. Maybe a human being is really rotten. To the core, you know. Look at all the words, you know, and get rid of him, you know. Like some great writer once wrote, I wouldn't be disappointed if human beings became extinct from the face of the earth. like dinosaurs? Yeah. Who says it would be such a tragedy? You know what I'm saying? Oh, okay, there.
Yeah. I've heard that. I've heard that before.
Yeah, great writer wrote that. See, great writers write many great things. Anyway, you know what I'm saying? But you know, yeah, it's very helpful to hear this stuff. But anyway, what I say?
So who's this great writer?
I'm not going to tell you. Obviously.
So I don't
know.
Flushing work.
Maybe it's Flushing Heart.
No. Oh, okay.
Hello? Anyway. But anyway, his work is worse than that. It doesn't matter. Believe me, that was the best thing in that book. But anyway, he says, that was the beginning of the fall, right? But it all goes with, you know, that's the pshat, that, you know, everything begins with a kilkul shel simcha, with the destruction of simcha. That's the point. All of a sudden, that's doubt. Ein simcha el b'taras ha-sfekes, right? The only simcha comes when there's no doubts. Simcha is a sign of complete trust, complete emuna, no doubt. Ein simcha el b'taras ha-sfekes. A person with complete clarity of belief has no atzvus. What do you believe? There's tov. Everything in the world is tov. Where's the depression? Ain't a simcha el b'taras ha-sfekes. Simcha comes through the overcoming of doubts. But the nachash comes, and the purpose of the nachash is that he sows doubts. Who says it's tov? Maybe it's not tov. Who says your children are told? Maybe they're rotten as well. Maybe your wife is well, I'm taking advantage of you, and who knows what she's doing. Maybe this, you know what I mean? That's the nachash. That's the key. That's the nachash. You have a trust, you know, and who says, maybe everybody's out. You have to care for yourself as well. Everybody else is out for themselves in this world. You fall. What are you doing? These things. Take care of yourself. Everybody else is like that in the world. There's no beliefs. Nobody cares about anything. Just go, you know. Eat, drink, and be merry, at least. Well, tomorrow you're going to die anyway. Anyway, you know, there's no ultimate tolerance. Just do the best you can. That's all the, you know, time is of the nachash. That's the exact opposite of simcha, of the black depression that comes with doubt about how we function in this world. But in Gan Eden is a world of simcha, a world of emuna, of beauty, and emuna to beliefs. And see how precious a belief is. There's nothing more precious to a person in this world than his beliefs. I have my beliefs. Hashem is tov. The world is tov. Human beings are tov. A person earns olam habo, even the smallest act. Ah, a person has emuna and beliefs like that. He's precious. You know. He's in a world. He's something powerful. As soon as you lose and undermine your beliefs, that's the greatest damage you can do to a human being, is to get him to lose his beliefs. That's why Chazal say that the most destructive thing in the world is Leitzanus. Leitzanus is considered to be the most destructive thing.
Right,
a disturbing person. Is it the Gezel Shem? Yeah, it says the most destructive thing in the world is Leitzanus. Leitzanus is scoffing and mocking. It's the Yetzer Hara. When you see somebody who has beliefs that you think that person is so bad, it's an idiot. You know, that's called light science. You ruin them. Person comes out thinking, I heard a great shiur. You know what I mean? Unbelievable. Wow, the person, somebody can say that you're all involved. You have a certain meaning in the person. So the person, yeah, looks at him and says, you like that guy? Eh. That's the end of it. You know what I mean? All you need is that, eh. That's the destruction. You know, it's like a joke. I heard this amazing shiur. I can destroy the whole shiur. You wouldn't believe it. Everything he said was fantastic. I can destroy everything he said. Go ahead, destroy everything he said. All right, you like that shiur? It's all this guy.
How do you respond?
Right? And there's no intellectual thing going back. You can't. You're not saying anything. You're not saying anything logically about what was wrong with it. You're just like, him. Yeah. You like him? That's the end of it. You know what I mean? It's like it's a way of destroying by bypassing the seichel and just stomp. That's called Leitzanus. It's the most, it's the exact opposite.
How do you massage yourself if somebody says that to you? How do you?
What?
How do you respond if somebody says that?
Only through Leitzanus. The only way you respond with Leitzanus is by writing, "F to you." You're the air over here. You know what I mean? That's what you do. You don't speak back in the lunch play. I see you make a lot of sense. You yourself. Yeah, go tear down some other sand castles. Anyway, but they say that
But they write, but that was Gan Eden, right? That's the most belief, the person is rooted in Gan Eden. But after the Chait, so we were left Gan Eden. And as a result of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put the Cheruv HaMisapeches in this huge sword, revolving sword, angel, and there's something like 16 sides. Lahat Cheruv HaMisapeches. There's very deep things about this sword. It's revolving on Pesach from Gan Eden, you know, flashing. The sun catches its rays and flashes them out into the world, lights up the world.
Which
Malach
is it?
I can't remember. There's a lot of this. The Vilna Gaon discusses it in depth. It's a really deep idea, but he discusses it, the different names of Hashem, different sides and all something. But anyway, you can't get back in, you know. And human beings are, in a level, are left in a world of Olam Hazeh, you know. Olam Hazeh is a world of sphagis, a world of doubts, a world where people don't live with any ideals, you know. And as a result, you're not inspired by the world. You can't see the Tov. That's the world. It's a different world, right? And you can't get back in. So the Gemara says, you might think that a person is lost. There's no way to get around that sword. Says, you're not so. Rish Lakish, kol ha'one amen b'kol koichai. Somebody says, amen with all of the strength, you know. Dafka, yeah. Amen, you know, kel melech nem. So the gates of Gan Eden open up for him. Pasha, we go back into Gan Eden. This is a way, right? Through Amunah, if you've been Mechazik Amunah, a person, that's the way back to Gan Eden. Then if you have it, this world, you can still open up. But you have to say, Omein B'kol Koichai. It's working on Amunah with Kol HaKoch. That's the Yisod. If you work on Amunah B'kol HaKoch, so then you're able to actually go back into Gan Eden. You know, you find Olam Hazeh, you find some different world again. Pashit, you're right. The person with the Muna, all of a sudden you realize, the whole world is Gamish Gan Eden. You know, look at the things Hashem created. Look at the Tov. But it takes Kol HaKoach to get back to that type of Madrega of Muna where you're rooted in Nema. It's not so simple to get in. The Maharal says another thing over here, he writes also. He says, under the Maharshua, he writes, he asks the problem, why did the Gemara say, Kol ha'oneh omen b'kol koch ha'poskon lo sharei, the gates of Gan Eden? How many gates are there? You should say, the gate, what are the gates? So, you know, why is it? So, I thought at first, gates mean like there are two gates, you know, that open up. So that really should say, what's really one gate? A gate can be made of two sides. You don't say that, you wouldn't call that in English gates, you'd say that the gate. Okay? So, the Maharshua says, the Kavanah is like this. He says that in Gan Eden, you should know, Gan Eden is a makom for the neshama, right? The place where people go after this. And there are many different places in Gan Eden. Right? That's right. There are a lot of different places in Gan Eden. There are a lot of different madrigas and levels in Gan Eden. Each tzaddik has a different place where he has like a little house there, a little, you know, a little backyard, a little chelik of Gan Eden, according to what he did in this world. And you know, in the middle of Gan Eden, there you have the Eitz HaChayim, you know. That's already, Eitz HaChayim is the closest to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And then closest to Eitz HaChayim, that's like, you know, that's the best place to be, you know. It's all the way there. But you have to be a great tzaddik to get there. Only there you have the Rambam and Rashi and I don't know, you know, Mokom and Gan Eden, right? And then there are people who are further away. Some people just are on the other side of the wall there, you know what I'm saying? Way far on the thing, you know, they're sitting by the gate, you know, right by the road, by the kiosk over there. You know, it's like there are many different places in Gan Eden. And you can't, it says you can't, you know, once a person, what we've done in this world, that's as far as you can get, you know, into Gan Eden. That's your place. And you sit there, you can't. Once you're there, you can't go closer into the Eitz HaChayim. You can't wander around.
That's a good question. So, like, with regard to Gilgulim, is that just a person trying to get closer when they come back? Or, like, how does that work?
Gilgulim?
Right. When you a reincarnation, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, I'm not such an expert in reincarnation. You know, I have to read the Sefer HaGilgulim, the Rizal, and then you'll know everything about reincarnation. But in general, all we know about it is that that's a tikkun of the neshama. That's right. You have more and more chances in this world to tikkun and get higher and higher levels. Right? That's right. You didn't make it last time. Hashem gives another chance. The Galgal, yeah. Another Troy. Yeah. Anyway, until you're Masakin. So this is the Maharsha writes. The Maharsha says, and once you're there are different madrigas. A person can't go. He says, but he says, somebody, so that's called the different gates.
there's a gate here, and then another gate, there are like 100 gates, you know, going back, and each person stays within their own Madrei and Ganei. So he says, Kol Oni Omein B'Kol Koicho, but somebody says, Omein B'Kol Koicho, all of the gates open, all the way up to the Eitz HaChayim. That's what he learns. That, yeah, he says, it's not even totally, because it's not totally on my seam at this point. The very fact that a person reaches deep levels of Emuna opens up for him all the gates, and it's one after the other, and he's able to walk all the way into the Eitz HaChayim. It's power. Kol Koicho, you're putting all of your koach into Emuna, and Hashem, Keil, Melech, Nemon. Hashem is a faithful king, right? So Keil, Melech, Nemon. Faithful to us. When you feel that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is faithful and he's rooted, nothing in the world can stop him from giving. Nothing in the world will stop him from giving. The king, nothing in the world will stop him from giving, and he himself is truthful. Nothing will stop him from giving. There's a Keil Melech Ne'eman. So then when you feel his Ne'eman is to you, you see his Ne'eman. Yeah. So then we become Ne'emanim as well. Close and connected to him, to go together, people, and then we become Anshei Emunah, to working on a man that he's faithful to us, so then we become faithful to him as well. I believe in him, right? I believe someone, and I became guardian of faith. Shomer Emunim, Shomer Emunim, a man of faith. That's one of the most important things that a person can be, and as a result of that. And as I say, it puts you in a different matzav in Olam Hazeh. So that's how the Maharal begins over here about Keil Melech Ne'eman, about saying Omein Mekol Koch, power of working on Emunah, through saying the word Omein. Now he goes further on this. Maybe we'll have to speak about this more another time. But he goes further and discusses now more in depth what the word Omein means. What's that?
It's just the beginning.
Yeah. Now he goes further. We're getting started. Now he goes further, right? He writes about God. That's what he writes. L'chein, look what he writes. V'od roi sheyiftuku. Let me read you his words. I'll tell you inside. V'od roi sheyiftuku lo shari gan Eden. It's fit roi for them that they should open up the Gan of Eden. Ki emuna yimsa. Ki be'emuna yimotze hahanocha. When a person who has a person of faith, he's at rest in life. He has serenity, right? But because of his emunah, he trusts in Hashem, and therefore he's at rest, he's b'simcha. Therefore, somebody who has emunah, you won't find by him tsar, pain or anxieties, right? Depression. You won't find those things by somebody who has emunah. Rak hanocha, but peace of mind and rest and simcha, right? B'mashu ma'amin bo b'kol liboy, because he in what that he believes in with all of his heart. And this that it says that anybody who says Amen with all of his strength, that means Shemamin bo Yisbarach, he believes in Hashem with all of his heart. Then it's renewed in him a feeling of serenity and in Simcha. And the gates of Gan Eden are open to him. There he'll find. Gan Eden was a place where a person was in complete nachas ruach, the ein sar shan. He says there's no pain or depression or anxiety in Gan Eden. He says it's a different place, just didn't exist there. And somebody who has a muna, so that's the place for him, a place without sar, a place of simcha, right? That's what he means to say. Somebody who works on a muna b'kol libo, he's not in a place anymore of tsar, of depression. All atzvus is a sign of loss of emunah, right? And therefore, we have to go back to develop emunah, and reach up to that level of simcha nachas, which is the dargum ganed in simcha. So, working on simcha and adar is bemes and deep madrega of emunah. It's not, it's a deeper level of emunah. That's what we mean. Mishenichas adar marbin the simcha. Doesn't mean just having a couple, some whiskey. It's nothing, that also helps. But, I'm just saying, it's really a deep avoda in emunah, a world of tov, become shomer emunim, right? You're able to see, keil melech neman, say amen b'kol kochos, that's what he writes. There's no one, you can find his own gani in a place where it's just nachas ruach, b'lisha, b'lisha. So he writes an instruction. Then he goes, as I say, more further, we'll speak about this next time. That Amen, he starts talking about how the three letters of Amen talk about all the Yisodas of Emunah are hinted to in the word Amen. Yahweh is Ani Rishon, because what created the world. The Nun is that Hashem is Neman to bring the Mashiach, and the Mem is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Melech over the world right now, and there's Hashkucha Protis. This is the three main Yisodas of faith that are included in the word Amen itself. So if you get into it more, you'll see that when you say Amen, you have there all the deepest Yisodas that a Jew has to believe in. Bari Olam, yeah, he's going to bring a Geula, and that there's Hashkucha Protis and all that occurs to us. Aleph, Mem, Nun. He starts darshaning with more depth, but what the word means. Sorry about this, maybe next time.
Why do we say after a bruch?
What's that?
Why do we say after a bruch? After somebody else makes a bruch?
Oh, they speak like that, because he says this is a bruch, it's better. He says, when a person says, the person who says it is just making a maisa. But when you say after the bruch, you're saying, I believe what you said is true. We said last time, that's why I was going to time the last year. Berei priyayis, right? The person who's making his bruch is that a kaddish baruch hu, yeah. Baruch, I thought, you're baruch, Hashem. Yeah, you want this tov, we want more of it. Yeah, but you created the fruit. Look how much tov you want from this world. You know, but you're just eating it and saying it. When a person says amen, that's why I have deep emunah that what you're saying is true. That's what amen means. Hashem wants tov, and therefore he created this apple. Right? He said, Keil Melech Neman, look, create, and he'll continue to create. You know, that's why it's a statement of emunah that what you said is true. That's what the person said in response. Everybody should have a good
Shabbos. Good Shabbos, everybody.